let's start whatever this show's going to be called. Ethan's, the circle of Ethan's face. Welcome to the show. Did we lose you?
Oh yeah. Oh, we're actually going.
Yeah,
going,
this going. Is it. This is a thing.
We're on the thing now. Jeez Louise.
This is an MP3 file someone is listening to and not understanding the joke that nobody can see your face.
I was gonna say I'm off my game now. It's been 2 weeks, and suddenly I can't even function. My webcam doesn't work. I don't know if my heart's working anymore. So it's whatever you're gonna do.
Well,
but hey,
I've missed you. Like, when your computer dies, that's like our one method of communication. So what the hell has happened in the last week?
Oh my gosh.
Everything.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's weird because it was almost like my computer went down and I panicked because I spent a whole 3 days troubleshooting, doing all this stuff. I couldn't figure out what it was. And I was like, okay, so now I'm disconnected from everybody. You know, now I'm Tom Hanks. I'm on a deserted island. I have a little ball with me, though the ball was actually two cats.
Okay.
And it was weird. But, you know, actually, it wasn't bad to have maybe a week away from the computer. I kind of, you know, went out and was going to see the sunshine. And the very next day after my computer died, the weather got so shitty here. So there was like no reason to go outside. So I've been reading a lot. I've been reading some books.
I don't understand what that means.
Yeah. I didn't think you would. So we don't have to talk too much about it.
Yeah. No books, please. No books. I've already got to look at a still photo of you for an hour and a half. So
yeah, I said that's tough enough.
That's better than the book actually. But you, yeah. So you had some adventures trying to fix this PC in Germany.
Yes. I wouldn't call myself a computer expert by any stretch of the imagination. I know what to do. I can replace most components, but I hit a wall, and because I have two speeds, really slow and really like painfully fast, and you know, just angry, I thought I should probably just step away from this and take it to somebody, and I fortunately found a partially English speaking computer shop down mm-hmm. the street from me and took it in, and it cost 40 fucking euro.
What is that, like 60 bucks, 50 bucks?
Like 60 or 50, yeah. Like nothing.
That's,
like
yeah.
If I was expecting, because I bought a bunch of RAM, I bought a new power supply, I bought a new cooler, I just thought, okay,
damn,
let's just take care of everything that could possibly be wrong with the computer right now. Because I know it's not the graphics card, I know it's not the CPU, and so I spent about 200 bucks on that stuff, but the service was 40, and he was like, oh yeah, we put this stuff in, and I was like, you gotta be kidding me. Like, I laughed, and the guy was like, what? I was like, dude, if this was in the States, you would be charging me 230 bucks in addition to the parts. I mean, like, this is why, like, in the States, it is so important to know how to fix your own computer and put your own computer together. Because they jack the prices up so fucking much. It's absolutely insane. So that was awesome. I mean, that was really good. He said, well, you probably have too many games on it. So I don't know if that was actually the cause of it or what. But I did take some games I wasn't using off of it and tried to fix the Windows 7 install. And I don't know. So we've been fine up until the webcam at this point, which is...
Yeah, I mean, well, you live streamed earlier today mm-hmm. and the webcam worked.
An hour ago.
Yeah.
Literally an hour ago. There's really no rhyme or reason for it. But, I mean, shit, you know, whatever. I'll figure it out tomorrow. We don't want to troubleshoot all night because people really want to talk to me after a two-week layover.
I'm curious on the whole power supply issue, just with me being an ignorant American and not understanding the whole, you know, the different currents in Europe versus America. And did that play into your power supply's issues?
You know, it actually turned out that my power supply, there wasn't an issue with it at all. I actually got a memory, I had an error in my memory in one way or another. And that could mean anything. I mean, that could mean, looking this stuff up, it was like, oh, your memory could be bad. Your power supply could be bad. There's a variety of different things that it could be. But actually my power supply works both ways, which most modern power supplies do, is they can take either voltage, so European voltage or American voltage or English. Yeah, it's American voltage, which is, oh shit, it's like, well, I forget what the actual, it's like 120 to 130.
I got nothing.
Yeah, it's anyway, my computer is prepared to do that kind of stuff. Okay. So I don't think that was the issue. I think it was just kind of a perfect storm of issues. You know, I just updated PlanetSide 2. That's when actually everything started happening, and I was having issues with that. And then there was a you know, NVIDIA card update. It just, everything came together. And sometimes computers don't like it when you upgrade them, like, all in one big, you know, batch. And I think that, you know, that yeah. was all kind of an issue. So, but it's fixed now, except for the webcam. So I'm happy having a computer back. You know what I mean? The webcam, yeah. I'm okay with that for right now. So we'll figure it out.
Well, I think we were destined to keep testing this show, it looks like, because next week we're actually going to do some E3 shows, and then so we have 2 weeks to figure out the format for this show and to name it something awesome or better than a test podcast at the Cockwine Emporium or whatever I've been calling it. I actually kind of like that. If we can have Cockwine in the title, I'm okay with that. So
I guarantee people will come and watch that. Based on that alone, you know, they don't even need to like us or want to listen to video game content. But Cockwine brings the boys to the yard, as they say. So
I didn't know that's how the song went.
But yeah, it was actually. They did a change up because, you know, they thought, you know, they were looking for an American audience here. So milkshakes make more sense at that point.
Well, you haven't. I guess technology hasn't been your enemy all week because you went on a little bit of an adventure this week that. I know everybody that knows that you went on it wants to hear about it, and that includes me. Tell me about the Oculus Rift.
Oh, my gosh. So I've got a buddy here who has a software company, and his friend came in from Finland, and his buddy works at one of the technology colleges in Finland, and they have one of the Oculus Rifts. They were one of the first people to – I think it's they're the only people in Finland to have it. Mm-hmm. And Finland's got a lot of, I mean, there's a lot of game development happening in Finland. I had no idea about, but they're in the game. They're in the game deep. And so my buddy calls, like, hey man, we're gonna do a demo of the Oculus Rift tomorrow. And like, trying to be professional, I'm like, oh,
let me check my schedule.
Let me see if I can get over there. But I, like, on the inside, I was like, holy shit, you got to be fucking kidding me. Like, I was so freaking excited. So yeah, we did a demo. At the office, and you know, there's about 8 or 9 people there. They were actually going to Wooga, which is a mobile developer here, and they did a little demo there as well. I didn't follow them that, but then we did the most fun we had was we did a demo over at my place because my computer was going to be able to support the Oculus Rift
sure
a little bit easier than well, yeah, I was going to say yeah.
Your computer supports the Oculus Rift, but not webcams.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Yeah, I think maybe what happened was my computer is like, oh, I really like this idea of virtual reality. Your fucking webcam is old business. You know, we need to get into this. But we came over here. I still have all the demos downloaded on my computer, and we all took a couple shots at the Oculus Rift in a variety of different demos. My wife even got in on a mix, and
yeah,
she said it was awesome.
That's something. She hates all things video games except for you and me.
Yes, I was going to say, yeah, there's very little entertainment she gets out of video games, but she did a roller coaster demo, and I think she did a flight demo, and mm-hmm. she was like, this is awesome. Like, she was like, this is a really, really cool thing. And, I mean, you know, a lot of the demos are relatively simple, though that being said, they were far more, there was more to them than I even expected. The roller coaster, I mean, you, there's depth of field involved with this. I was thinking it was just going to be that kind of like generic 3D effect where, you know, stuff is kind of coming at you. But the whole idea, you know, why the Oculus Rift is great is because it's enclosed and it pulls you in more, yada, yada, yada. No, there's depth of field. I mean, it makes you feel like in that roller coaster demo, I felt it in my stomach. You know yeah. what I mean? Like, it's pretty incredible. The way the light actually shines like down on your view is incredible. I mean, it's very realistic. Again, graphics wise, it wasn't anything that blew me out of the water because, you know, the dev version of the Oculus Rift is not as high resolution as the retail version will be. So we were working with something that was a little just again, obviously for development purposes, they don't have to have everything as pulled together as possible, but still, even that being said, it was really incredible. I got to say, the highlight though was a flight simulator where everybody got behind the controls of a MiG, I believe, and everybody was really excited about that because, you know, they're all Europeans and people like MiGs over here, I guess. We're more the F-15 people, you know, mm-hmm. USA. Fuck you guys. In this flight simulator, they also gave you access to a truck.
Oh.
And we like trucks over here. So I took a truck for a spin. I flipped a truck, and I got really sick to my stomach, as I kind of identified in my article this past week. There are some elements of the Oculus Rift that, you know, aren't great, and the motion sickness thing is going to come into play for anybody. If you get motion sickness now, you are going to get motion sickness when you're using the Oculus Rift. I think you have to really let yourself get used to it. It's not going to be like going through your Steam library and switching between a bunch of games. You have to kind of prepare yourself for the Oculus Rift experience, which is something that I think, it makes sense after doing it because it does. It is messing with your brain. Your brain's not used to seeing like fake 3D like that in such a closed-in space. And I don't know. It's definitely something to get used to. But I think that, like, I remember getting motion sickness when I played Doom 2, and that passed eventually. Mm-hmm. So I'm not too concerned about it. But I'm excited, but I'm scared to death of the Oculus Rift because it's like you're in your own little bubble. Like it's not like you just have your headphones on, you're playing a game. Like all of your senses are enclosed within this little bubble of virtual reality. And also, as I noted in the game, if somebody wanted to come up and stab you, you'd have no idea. You'd be enjoying yourself quite a bit. So it's a good thing. But again, like it's going to enhance a variety of different games. I think the sim audience is going to benefit from this more than anybody else. It just makes sense because, you know, again, you're stationary and you'll be able to look around your cockpit and do all that kind of stuff. I don't know. It's going to be cool. And it'll make people that don't necessarily like Sims right now want to take part in them so much more. You know, it's I don't know. The future is fucking now. Yeah. I didn't think it was going to be now, but it's now. I mean, it's now. It's within a year we're going to have this. I was also happy to hear that the dev version was, I think, 300. So yep. The retail version is going to be much cheaper than that.
Oh, it's cheaper? Okay.
That's the impression that he gave me, the developer gave me, was it's going to be cheaper. It makes sense because it still is, you know, it's not its own game system. It's not its own enclosed game system. It still needs a PC, or if it does have connectivity with Xbox 360 or the PlayStation 4, I mean Xbox One or PlayStation 4, it's definitely going to need more than you can't just put it on and things happen. You know, you have to connect it to something, but holy shit, dude. Like, I'm serious. Like I'm looking through all these videos of us taking it, and it's a fun fucking time, too. So that's the other good thing about it. Like, it's just a good, enjoyable time. Get your family together. Lock, you know, obviously one person's going to be enjoying it a lot more than anybody else, but there's laughs, maybe some pukes, and that's okay. But yeah, no, I'm pretty pumped up about it.
That's awesome. I'd really trust your opinion in this matter, because if this thing was flimsy, uncomfortable, or just... I don't know, you know, something, what's the word, what kind of fly-by-night, like just trendy, one-off usage type of thing. I think you'd be able to call that out pretty quick. And
there's no novelty to it all, and the thing is, it is so lightweight. Like, I think if you look at the pictures of it, you're going to think, oh man, that's going to be really uncomfortable. It's super, super, super lightweight. It feels like a pair of ski goggles. I mean, that's about all you're going to be able to really, like, it's not going to affect your, you know, your neck endurance, I guess. Mm-hmm. I don't think that you're going to be able to apply the Oculus Rift to every single game on the planet. It just doesn't seem feasible. But I think that there is going to be a market for a very specific sort of game. Again, like I mentioned, the sim genre. Mm-hmm. It's going to be able to just benefit from it so, so much more. But scary games are going to be that much more frightening. There's a lot of cool stuff to it. Diablo 3, those kind of games, you're not going to have fun with it. It has to be a game that's in a first-person perspective, or else you're going to kind of lose it. But also the applications outside of games are kind of interesting too. We were actually talking about it on Facebook today, and I don't know, it's just there's so much to it. Like, it's going to open up so much. And if you look at the new omnidirectional treadmill that's on Kickstarter right now, if you look to the Xbox One and how the Kinect is going to work, I mean, we're going to be like actually participating in these games. Like, the controller is it's going to be there, but it's slowly going to melt away. We're actually going to be punching and kicking and shooting guns. I mean, it's kind of cool. And we're going to be right there, up in the nitty-gritty of it. So hold on to your butts, man.
Thank you. Thank you, Samuel. I was disappointed you didn't get the guillotine demo.
We did. I've got it on tape.
Oh, shit.
So, yeah, we did do the guillotine. That was weird.
You've been playing with that footage a little bit. How do you think the end product's going to be?
You know, the one thing that we couldn't do was we couldn't capture the demos directly off the screen.
Okay.
But I shot footage of the screen. You get an idea what it's going to look like, because to anybody else, it looks like two images. One of them is offset just a little bit. But that being said, the fun in the Oculus Rift is actually the reaction, that people have to it and the people around you. And how you're in your own little bubble, and you're turning your head around and to the audience, it's kind of like, you look so goofy, but it's just because you're in it. Like, you're completely absorbed in the experience. Though you got to watch where your vision's at, because at the earlier demo, one of the guys was looking at something and he turned to the left and some dude's crotch was right there. So, I mean, you got to be really cautious with where your face is going.
That could be funny.
Yeah. So, but yeah, no, it's going to be, it's really, I've got some interesting footage. We had a good time. We saw a lot of demos. The guillotine demo was scary. I don't want to ever get my head cut off. Be excited. If you're at home now, be excited.
I mean, I've fought getting the dev kit, but the fact that it's lower res than what the final piece is going to be, kind of stave that off. But man, seeing all these demos and talking to people that have actually used the thing, I can't wait. Mm-hmm. I'm more excited about this than any gaming technology right now. I think you are right that games won't be what makes it break through. I think it'll mm-hmm. I think it'll have game support, and there'll be certain experiences there, but like, I think it's going to be, like you said, some sort of simulation or some tool, some demos, it'll be really big in the realtor market or something that'll make it break through. I don't know.
Yeah.
So we missed you a little bit this weekend. I went over to Josh's and actually did some tabletop gaming. I get really anxious, or I always talk myself out of playing tabletop games because I get really frustrated learning the rules, especially mm-hmm. when I've also discovered, like, I don't like people necessarily telling me the rules, versus I would rather just give me the book and let me read the instructions and let me ask you questions, rather than mm-hmm. like you giving me the pieces that you think I might know, I might need to know, but you're not giving me all the information because it's too much to take in. Anyway, so I finally gave in, and I've told Josh I wanted to play tabletop games with him, and we tried out Zombicide, and they've mm-hmm. played a number of games with this, and I found out they haven't actually won any scenarios. I really like the game. Like, first of all, the art style of it is really cool. Kind of has like a comic book type of feel, and I'm gonna be really bad at describing this, so ask questions as you have them to try to get like a better description here. But you and I played level 7 together, which mm-hmm. was more of the dungeon crawler style. This is very much just role playing. You are playing as one of 6 survivors in a typical zombie apocalypse scenario. The particular scenario we chose, the goal was basically to, you're running low on supplies, so you have to break into this old supermarket and scavenge a certain number of supplies and get out before the zombies get you. And mm-hmm. So the first two attempts at this, we failed miserably, almost immediately. the map setup, it kind of had this, had the big supermarket off to the right, and then kind of half of the city block off to the left, and then there were two cars, a cop car and a pimp car, that all have, they have all kinds of items in them. And so the first time we played, we only had three of us, because one of our buddies kind of flaked. And so we did play with a fourth person, but we were all kind of playing this other character, and that character's name was Ned. He's kind of like a big fat hippie dude that we didn't like, and so he would just always kind of anytime we would fail and somebody would need to take a wound, we'd give it to Ned, and that kind of became the joke, was that Ned sucked. And so, you know, the first time we broke into, you have to break open doors, and as soon as you break open a door to a building, like, you basically roll to see how many zombies are in this building. And needless to say, we rolled and were immediately taken over by the zombies in the building first time. And then the second time, almost the exact same scenario, except there are also four spawn spots on the street. So what will happen is your squad will each, you each take your turn, and then at the end of all the turns, you have to roll to spawn more zombies, and they just, the outside zombies overwhelmed us that time. So the third time we played, we tried a different tactic. Instead of going like in the main entrance, we actually went around to the side by the cop car, like down an alley, and opened the door from there. Well, the thing with the cop car is once everybody got over there, you got to like search the cop car to find a bunch of weapons. And so we all get padded up with a couple new weapons, so because everybody else kind of started off with like frying pans or something like that. And so everybody has a decent weapon, or at least a better than a starter weapon. So we decide, okay, we're gonna break the door down to the market, and that's gonna spawn all these zombies. And then we've got, you know, already the outdoor zombies are coming down the alley after us. So we've got to make our move. And in this game, there are four classes of zombies. There's your typical walkers. There's your runners, and there's your fatties that take two damage or double damage over the other ones, and they come with walker friends. And then there's like this abomination dude that is the big zombie. He takes three damage, and the only thing that really can kill him are explosives. So he's really hard.
He's like the tank.
Yeah. So he spawns in the first room when we open the door, and we're just like, damn it! We just think we are fucked. So we kind of panic, and what ends up happening is we put Ned in the driver's seat of the cop car, and then my character, who had just picked up this ability to, if he misses his first shot, he automatically gets to roll a second shot. And then I had a sniper rifle, so he was pretty loaded. So we threw him in the car with Ned, and then everybody else ran in the building. And basically, I am picture my guy just like shooting everything he can see to make noise to draw all these zombies to the car, while everybody else runs into the building. And essentially, for the next 10-12 turns, Ned and I are just driving the streets, running over zombies nonstop. And in between like every move, I am shooting my guns out the window, and it just becomes like this just epic chase scene that I want to see reenacted in the movie. In the meantime, our entire crew inside, is there's really no zombies in there, and they're just collecting the goods, and we have to go back and in the end just rescue them and get them to the other car before we all make a break for it in both of the cars. And We're about to pick them up, and we get surrounded by zombies. And then, basically, it comes down to there are probably 10 zombies around us, and I have this chance to kill 5 zombies in 5 rolls. I had to roll a 4 or higher on 5 times in a row, and I did, and it was just like the most, like, we're high fiving, we're screaming like every roll. And we make a break for it, and that's the first time we we've won Zombicide. So I'm a fan. It was awesome.
That sounds really intense, because I was thinking of, there's another board game called Zombies, I believe, that is similar-ish, but it's more like board game. It's not very scenario, it's not very role-playing. But what I was hoping for is Ned's big come around. I was thinking that maybe like he was gonna climb out of the vehicle.
He had like two sawed off. I forgot about that. So I'm in the back of the sniper rifle. He's got two sawed off shotguns that he's shooting akimbo style. And then like the way this game works, every time you kill a zombie, you basically get an experience point, and like at 5 experience points and at 15 and at like 30 you level up and get additional skills. So basically by the end, Ned and I have killed every zombie, like all the zombies on the map, and we are just maxed out. So we get like 6 turns a turn, like every time it's our turn. So we are just blowing everything up. And so Ned was the driver and essentially the hero. So
he was the guy,
because
Ned was the guy.
Yeah, we looked at our character sheets and he and I are maxed out, and like the next person had like 3 kills. I feel like we broke the map, but also like there's no other way to play it because it takes forever to actually get into that market and search for the stuff you need. So. Yeah. I don't know. It was a lot of fun, and then what I took from it was, I don't know, just the difference of playing multiplayer video games versus, you know, multiplayer tabletop games and how social that actually is. And
yeah.
But Zombicide's really easy to pick up and learn. So that was the other thing I liked about it, and I immediately wanted to come home and play Left 4 Dead, but I'm thinking about buying Zombicide myself. So
no, that sounds cool. I saw the game board. It looked cool. I was jealous. I wanted to play some board games. I've
Aubrey and I played Resident Evil,
the card game. I was gonna say, yeah, like I need to get, because you know we played the Resident Evil card game and that's fun. But like you know you gotta have a big group of people. And I like the RPG ones. I like the ones where you're kind of like working together. You know, I like that concept because that's a concept you don't always see in board games. Like you don't always. It's always like a board game's competitive, and I actually, when we played, you know, Level 7, there was an aspect of co-op to that, and then also the ship game that we played where, you know, we died pretty quickly, but still, like, I like that. Like, I like that camaraderie. I like, because I don't like board games because they ain't competitive. Well, I actually knocked the Scrabble board off of the table because I was pissed, so it's kind of nice
fucking to see letters. These board games.
See, well, and like, in Germany, like, board games are huge here. I can't... Can't really read German yet, so I'm kind of struggling to get, you know, kind of get in with those. But I just know once I come back to Indiana, we're going to have a lot of game nights. I'm counting on that.
Josh and I were planning our Gen Con trip, so you should probably fly back for that.
Yeah, no, I will.
I won't talk much about it, but we also played a game. I believe it was called Galaxy Truckers. You remember the. What was it? It's not called Space Quest, but you know the space game that we were playing?
Mm-hmm.
That was kind of really abstract where you took care... It was basically kind of FTL, the board game.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was made by that guy. Except basically the game starts off with a bunch of tiles turned over in the middle of the table, and you have until the hourglass, the hourglass of sand runs out to build your space truck that... can haul cargo and have weapons, and then you go on an adventure and try to make more money and your buddies. It was really hard to understand, but really hilarious in concept that we were space truckers. So that's there are some weird board games out there, but I'm glad we have a crew we can play with. So you know, and I kind of recommend you know, hopefully some of your German friends, maybe you don't have to read the instructions, but hopefully they can walk you through them, because Josh and Travis did a pretty good job walking me through Zombicide, and that made a huge difference. So,
I think the team of Josh and Travis have walked me through at least 3 of the last.
They're really patient.
4 or 5, but they're actually really good at that. You have to have someone who's patient. If you're friends with a huge dickhead and he says, "Hey, let's go play board games," don't, because he's going to treat you like shit and you're going to hate it. Find a Josh, find a Travis. They'll do you right.
Verdian saying board games on the Oculus Rift. So whenever I play a board game, all I do is, like, you know, you can't help but like picture what's actually going on when you, you know, you make your moves, and just If it could like somehow interpret those and make that immersive, that'd be that would be ridiculous. That is that is some holodeck shit right there.
Yeah.
Oh man,
it's coming soon.
All right, on to video games. Let's start off with new releases. I'm going to scroll through a list here, see if anything had your attention or if you want to make any quick comments about it. I know Aaron's been playing the demo for Gunpoint. You know anything about that game?
I had followed that game last year. It looked really cool. I want to talk to Aaron about it because it looks like it's got a little bit of stealth, a little bit of puzzle, a little bit of action, and it's getting great reviews right now. So I'm looking forward to it.
And then it looks like Mojang's next game, Scrolls, not Elder Scrolls, went into beta this week. I don't know much about it. Any of those card-based video games, I have a lot of trouble getting into, but I'm curious about it.
I am too, because it's a card game, but there's also the tactical turn-based strategy aspect of it too. So if they can kind of weave those things together, I like card games a lot more now that I've been playing some deck building games. I know that's a little bit different from what they're doing, but I think that it's something that I would investigate. Whereas if you would have asked me a year and a half ago, like no, it's not my thing. Like it looks cool. I like the art style, and I mean it's Mojang. Come on, you know what I mean? So.
Did you react at all to the reviews for Remember Me?
You know what? No, that's actually not a game that's a game that a lot of people were talking about, being excited about. But it was also kind of tied into that whole mess with the developer talking about, you know, women as characters in games and whatnot. And I think that maybe that was a little bit louder than the actual game was. It seems like people were a little bit disappointed with it.
I couldn't tell if that was just because they'd started to build up expectations, or was this thing just destined to be mediocre all along and somebody built it up to be something it wasn't supposed to be?
I mean, coverage that I saw, and again, this was not on my radar because I didn't know enough about it, and it just didn't seem like it didn't grab me. If a game doesn't grab me, there's plenty of games out there that, you know, I don't feel too bad about that. But, I mean, I don't know what it was about the game. Whether it was because of having a strong female protagonist or the story or whatnot, but like a lot of people really pumped up about it. And so that got my attention. But again, it's like one of those situations where you get too excited about a game that kind of, not that it came out of nowhere, but it kind of, I don't know. People were pissed. People are not pissed, but disappointed. It was mediocre-ish.
Only in regards to, Capcom's kind of in an interesting place. I feel like a lot of their original talents moved on. Mm-hmm. And while they've done some interesting things with new franchise ideas like Dragon's Dogma, like the stuff they've been counting on hitting hasn't, you know, like Resident Evil hasn't hit as hard. So I keep wondering what's next for them. And when I saw, you know, another original franchise from them, I kind of hope for the best for them. Because, you know, I think we still need the, you know, the strong Japanese developers, and they've been swinging and missing a lot. So I keep wondering how many more times they can do that. And this didn't end up being I'd be surprised if this ends up being a hit for them, it looks like. So
yeah,
well, we will talk about Marvel Heroes later.
Mm-hmm.
Limbo is on the Vita. Earth Defense Force is on the Vita. Okay, are you interested in the Vita at all? Cole and I were talking about this because
it's going to depend heavily on how interested I am in the PlayStation 4.
I'm kind of the same way. Okay, we'll revisit that another time, I think. I'm going to be playing State of Decay after the show. I don't really know much about the game. I forget why it was so high on my, like, pay attention to this list. But I dropped the $20 without looking. I've been hearing some really mixed things about it, but zombie survival game, single player, Xbox Live, looks probably going to be an exclusive because it looks like it's a Microsoft Studios published game. So, what do you actually know about it?
Last time I heard about it was probably about 2 years ago, and at that point they were talking about it being kind of, I don't know. It seems like maybe it seemed like going into it was going to be a bigger game than it was.
Mm-hmm.
That it's turned out to be, which, you know, when I first heard about it, it was going to be, I believe, multiplayer or massively multiplayer. There was going to be a lot more components to it. I think they've kind of came down a little bit off of that. I think they've kind of funneled in a little. I watched, actually, who was streaming that today for a little bit? I watched a little bit of it.
I think Giant Bomb was. Was it their
Giant stream? Bomb? You know what? No, it was a website that shall remain nameless.
All right.
I watched a little bit of their stream because it happened to pop up on Twitch, and it looks interesting. It looks a lot more fluid than a lot of the zombie survival games that I've had access to, in terms of, you know, the DayZ and the WarZ. And I like the idea. The reviews that I've read about it is that there's actually that it almost has a Dwarf Fortress like mentality to it in terms of everyone could die. It's just, you know, how you build the characters up. And I thought it was interesting how you recruit people. I thought it was interesting how you build up your bases, but also how, you know, going out and being the hero isn't always the most beneficial thing, because, you know, you're gonna have to feed all these people. So I'll be interested how you kind of feel about that, because I know these kind of games sometimes overwhelm you because there's just a lot of stuff to do. And I wonder how focused it really is. Is it a survival game and just a survival game, or is there kind of more of a not hand holding, but kind of, do they kind of narrow the view down a little bit and actually have you progressing through a storyline or whatnot? Because up to that point, I don't know anything else about it.
Yeah, I don't. I would just remember it catching my attention, and so I'll give it a shot and post a Game Curious video here in the next few days. Looks like there's a game called Cranky Cat. I got excited for you, but it's just a puzzle game. So that's out on Steam. Cranky and Cat. Then this Sunday, Tom Nook returns. Cole and I talked about a little bit about Animal Crossing New Leaf is out. So just worth.
Did you guys talk about what that means for you and your dedication to this website?
If I had a group of people to run a town with, we'd be in trouble. But I can't. I played the DS version solo. I ended up playing online towards the end with some friends, but it's pretty much the same Animal Crossing game, which is fine. It doesn't really need to be anything else. So I won't. Unless like you guys stage a coup and join up to. Join with me. I won't be going to town on that game. So, all right. So what games have you actually been playing?
It's a smattering, all kinds of different games. You know, again, being without my computer for a while, I actually relied on the iPad, which is what happened when I was moving here, because I didn't have my computer for about 2 weeks, and I played Puzzle Quest 2. For a really long time, too long, I think. That game is I have it on the PC as well. Much better on the iPad because it just fits. It makes sense. It's a good game to pick up and go with. But I almost felt like I had that Tetris syndrome that all the professionals, Tetris players, talk about, where you see little Tetra cubes coming down, or what were they called? Tetra whatever. Anyway.
Tetra-omicles. Tetranemos.
Tetranemos. So, and I kept seeing
bubbles
everywhere, and I was, you know, kind of like poking at bubbles and stuff. So, not a whole lot to say about that. But again, it's a good game to have when you don't have any other games to play.
It's fun. It's really well put together too.
Yeah.
I was just impressed with the effort they went into the story and the dungeon crawling. And if anybody played the first Puzzle Quest, just like the Diablo-fication of Puzzle Quest is kind of. Really unexpected. I played this game. I had a few intense sessions with it to the point where, when you're done playing for like the next 20-30 minutes after you've played, you're kind of in this puzzle haze. And yeah it is. I don't know. There's it started doing weird things to my brain, and I realized I can't play this game right before I go to bed. So
yeah. I learned that as well. Definitely learned that as well. But again, it's one of those games that perfect fit for the iPad.
Yeah.
So and I feel like I'll probably go back to it. But again, I like the Match 3 games. I've always liked the Match 3 games. I like what they did with incorporating the RPG elements in the Match 3 games, because Match 3 games are a dime a dozen. on the Apple Store.
Sure. But this one, you get to kill orcs by magic.
You get to kill things. I like the combo systems that can kind of come into play much deeper than I thought it was. So, yeah. No, I definitely recommend that if you're going on a trip or you love bubbles. It's definitely the game for you.
That would be Moonwalker. I played that. Bubbles, Bubbles the Monkey is in that.
I forgot about Bubbles the Monkey. I wonder how he's doing. I mean, he's probably dead now.
He turned you into a giant Michael Jackson robot and shoots lasers out of his torso.
That is right. I did forget about that. Yeah. That was a good scene in the game. That was actually a pretty good game. Michael Jackson's Moonwalker.
You're probably talking Genesis version, which I can't relate, but Josh and I beat the arcade version this weekend. Hey, I'm glad we got to see it, but we were laughing at it more than enjoying it because it's really repetitive. So
yeah, it's a pretty silly game. It's a pretty silly game.
Well, it's not like it's based on the most amazing source material. Anything Moonwalker is. I don't know if the game is more ridiculous than the movie or the concept of both of them existing. So it's fine for what it is.
That movie was ridiculous. Oh yeah. My gosh, Michael Jackson hit a stage where he just got real kooky, like real super kooky, and like he was at, I don't know, he felt
had
as
too
if,
much money at that point, and you know, he's doing the Captain EO stuff, and then I think I told this story recently, but I read that he tried to buy Marvel at one point so that he could play Spider-Man in the movie. So yeah, that was the peak of that.
If I had that kind of money, I think I'd probably do worse. So I think maybe it's a good situation that I'm in the financial situation that I am. But back to games. I was in a really weird... when you don't play games for a while and then you finally have access to your Steam library, it's pretty tough to decide what game you actually want to play.
Yeah.
I have been playing... The Incredible Adventures of Van Helsing, actually. That was a game that I played right before my computer went down. I jumped back into that, wrote a review on it. Go read the review. I don't want to revisit that too much, except to say that I'm so fucking tired of point-and-click adventure.
I wonder.
Point-and-click action RPG
That's
games.
That's the only reason I didn't buy it.
Yeah, I am... it was a solid game. It wasn't a great game, but it was not horrible. It was a solid game. I was just really kind of tired of playing. I don't know. There was nothing that was keeping me into it. I realized that my lust for loot is slowly starting to lose out to my lust for a good adventure or my lust for a good story, which is also why, kind of leading into, I started playing Marvel Heroes today.
Mm-hmm.
And, I played for about an hour on stream, and...
Mm-hmm. Okay, you're kind of where I'm at then.
Yeah, I mean...
Based on that sigh.
It's a good game.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just... tired of action RPGs. I'm over that. And two, the price structure in that game is re-fucking-diculous.
Yeah, I don't understand it.
I think that... I don't know whether to be... I guess I'm looking at some of these price structures for games, and I think about things, and I don't know if I should be insulted that they think that they can get away with it because it's Marvel and these comic book geeks will do anything to play their favorite superhero, and I'm not the biggest comic book geek, but I like my Deadpool.
Mm-hmm.
I like my Wolverine. I like my Iron Man. I'd like to play as them. And it's great that it's a free-to-play game, but there's such a gap between the free-to-play content and the content that you actually want.
Mm-hmm.
And it just seems ridiculous. Like, you could spend what I believe on Steam, there's a pack that's $243 bucks. That opens up all the characters, which I think there's... And I'm assuming that it opens up all the characters for life. And it gives you some other little tidbits.
I would hope so.
I would too, because to me, like... So for instance, Iron Man is $20. So, a little bit less than $20. And I believe, from what Josh said, you can find these characters as you're playing. I found one. I found Hawkeye. which fucking great. So I've got Daredevil and Hawkeye. So I've got Affleck and fucking Jeremy Renner, which I like Jeremy Renner, but you know, Affleck is, you know, I don't know. He does good stuff sometimes, but not always. But $20 is ridiculous for a single character that, realistically, I'm assuming that all the move sets are as deep as Daredevil, and there's not that much many moves to them. Obviously, the armor isn't, you know, you're not getting armor and items and that kind of stuff. So to me, it's pretty ridiculous to ask that much money. Not to mention that if you want more costumes for your character, that's probably another additional $10.
Mm-hmm.
So if I want the perfect Iron Man, I'm going to spend $30 for a character. Now the game's free to play, and I understand that. But realistically, because the items that are for sale aren't physical objects, I don't understand why they wouldn't bring it down to like $5. If these heroes were $5, I would buy multiple heroes and I'd play with them all. Right now, I feel like, well, I don't want to spend $20 when I could buy a whole game for $20 and only buy one character with that. You know, to me, the value's not there. And so I'm just going to have to grind. And I don't think the game is deep enough for me to really want to grind to get the character that I want. So I felt a little bit alienated in it. The game itself is solid. It's a solid, you know, dungeon crawling superhero game. Animation looks good. A little bit of slowdown when there's a lot of people fighting, and it is kind of weird to see multiple Daredevils and multiple things fighting, but you're not going to get away from that. But again, the big aspect of the action RPG that I enjoy is customizing your character, and realistically in a game like this, you're not going to be able to do that, though. Mm-hmm. Again, I'm not the biggest comic book fan, and so maybe I'm not the audience for this, and I completely respect that. However, I feel like I can speak for everybody that I think that
there's something off with it, because I can't decide. Usually with this new tier of free-to-play games, I try to like look at them, okay, what do they actually think the value of their game is? Like, what should be the base entry price as far as, you know, when you compare it to, you know, the pricing models we're used to for, you know, $10 indie games, $15 to $20 kind of mid-tier indie games, and then, you know, 40 to 60 for your AAA games or whatever you want to call it. I look at PlanetSide 2, I look at Warframe, and how much money when I actually, you know, you get through that free demo phase or whatever you want to call it, and you realize, yes, I want to sink some time into this, and I'm willing to spend some cash on this. Like, and I don't know what Marvel Heroes thinks it is. I don't know where on that tiered system that it thinks. Does it think it's a Diablo, or does it think it's a, you know, a closer to Torchlight? Because I look at, you know, Torchlight, $15-$20, and it came with what, three, four character classes. So like when you're telling me Iron Man is $20, I'm saying $20. Let me pick any four characters I want for $20, and then. Yeah. You know, and then we're off and running. I think that was kind of more of what I was expecting. Like, I understand, you know, is Daredevil, do you get to choose from like one of four characters, or how does the free character work?
So at the very beginning of the game, you have a choice between Jean Grey. No, not Jean Grey. Excuse me. You've got the Thing, Daredevil, Hawkeye, Storm, and Scarlet Witch. So again, I'm sure there's people that are fans of those characters out there, but like, you're kind of throwing the kind of, I don't want to call them trashy characters, but those aren't characters people aren't super excited about. And so essentially what's happening is, okay, so I have my initial free stage where I'm playing with, so I'm testing the game out. I'm playing with Daredevil. I'm putting time and effort into him. And then I say, oh, well, I'd rather be Wolverine. So I'm going to pay money for Wolverine. Well, now I'm starting the game over again. The content's not going to be fresh. It seems weird. It's jilted a little bit in terms of that. And again, you're not going to have the same reasons to revisit this game than you would Diablo or Torchlight. You're not getting loot. And I'm sorry, like, there's an aspect of that cosmetic loot lust that is really important in these games. You want your character to look cool. You want your character to have cool-ass gear. And you're not going to get that with this game. You're going to power up your superhero, but that superhero is not going to be.
He has a costume. He has a set costume. You're not going to.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, And I saw a couple people that had the X Team, or not, what is it? It's not the X-Men, but it's another rendition of the X-Men. And there was like five Wolverines that all had the same outfit on. So like, if I'm the dude that spent, well, I think Wolverine's 1200 points, like $12, and then his costume was maybe at 1000 points. So if I spent $22 on a unique Wolverine, and then I get into the game and, you know, everybody and their uncle has the same Wolverine, like, I feel like I'm kind of gypped there.
Yep.
And it is a free to play game. I get it, but you'll make so much more money if you actually offer items to people at a price point that makes sense, so they don't have to sit. Like, I'm gonna have to sit and think about what hero I want.
Yeah.
I want to be able to pick up Iron Man and say, yeah, this wasn't the best purchase, and then get somebody else. But if I pay $20, I'm stuck with Iron Man. Like, mm-hmm. I'm not gonna go and pay for somebody else.
Can I trade you my Daredevil for your Iron Man?
Well, yeah. I mean, it's just, I don't know. It's a really silly. I feel like there's a little bit of ego there because of the Marvel name. I feel like they say, you know, oh, well, people will love this. They'll spend money to be their favorite character. And I mean, that's fine. And it's awesome that you're giving this to us for free. But I don't know what you're going to compete with afterwards. I don't know who's going to stick with this. And I think it's kind of a disservice to your fans to have such a big gap or have a big hump in terms of getting the characters they want to play as. Because superhero games, if you can't customize your own character, the next best thing is to play as your favorite character. And your favorite character is locked behind a $20 gate. That's kind of ridiculous. That's kind of a slap in the face, in my opinion.
I'm not hung up on the $20 price point. I'm hung up on the $20 for one. Like I said, if they got to come up with some better packages. Because I think they have some packages available, but it's like they're set packages. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, and then I also kind of look at this like, you know, we kind of got used to MMOs recently releasing for, you know, $60 right out of the gate with a subscription model, and then eventually getting rid of that and going free to play. Like, mm-hmm. maybe this is just their, you know, hook the Marvel fans, that like the hardcore Marvel fans out of the gate, and then they'll adjust their tiers for more casual fans as it goes on. But but I mean, because yeah, this game's had a little bit of build up, and you know, I'm sure there are a ton of people that are jumping at the chance to just buy their one hero and not really thinking about it for that $15 or $20. But mm-hmm. I think it's one of the uglier pricing models I've seen in a while, and I don't think they're offering as much as some of the other more recent free-to-play experiences that, you know, I've actually dropped money on, which is a big deal to me. So, you know, but throw all that out the window, kind of what I want to know. I know we're both fatigued on action RPGs at this point, but as far as gameplay quality goes, like when you're in it and you're not thinking about these the things around the core, would you rather play Van Helsing or Marvel Heroes right now?
Probably Van Helsing.
All right.
Because it took me a lot longer to kind of come to my breaking point with that game as opposed with Marvel Heroes. Marvel Heroes, it just, well, I mean, the very beginning of the game, I mean, you're fighting the same kind of characters or the same kind of enemies and stuff. But again, it's a smoother experience than Van Helsing. Graphics look better. It seems to work better, but it doesn't feel like a very personal experience. And it doesn't feel like, at least with Van Helsing, which again, in my review, I complained that you're not able to customize your character as much visually as maybe I would like. And again, that's me being kind of spoiled on the Torchlight 2s and Diablo 3s, where you can just totally pimp out your character. But at least with Van Helsing, I was adjusting, you know, his stats to a level. I was adjusting, you know, mm-hmm. my ghost companion. I mean, there's a lot more to that than just with this, where like I was looking at Daredevil's skill tree and I was like, is this all? Like, mm-hmm. I hope not, because I think maybe there was like 9 or 10 skills total, including passives. So, I mean, it doesn't get me too excited to put a lot of time and effort into beefing that dude up.
Well, that's the other thing. Like, I know the draw here is to play as these heroes, and maybe if they're not as deep as some other games, then you are going to have to give me packs and batches of characters. Like, mm-hmm. I think the problem is now that I'm thinking about this, you know, to get those 3 or 4 characters you want, you're spending $60 or $80, and maybe they do think this is a full retail game. And from what I played during the beta, it didn't seem like that at all. It seemed a lot more like it like as far as polish and depth went, it was it seemed to even a step, kind of a half step behind Torchlight, especially Torchlight 2.
Yeah.
I wasn't impressed with the look and feel of the world. Like, yeah, it's easy to get enamored with your superhero's powers, and that can be pretty cool. But like, aside from like, you know, the voice acting and the writing and the story, the campaign setup, like that stuff was like the story stuff around it was done pretty well. But I didn't find the world all that immersive or interesting. And you know, I probably spent 3 or 4 hours with it a while back, so I can't judge the final product. But it did not. I'd rather play Torchlight 2, and I've put a lot of hours in that already. So.
Oh yeah, yeah. I mean, the cinematic flair, they have it. Like, again, it's fluid. It looks good. There's stuff going on. There's explosions. Fire looks great. But it's again, like you said, it's bland. I mean, you're walking down straight corridors. You're not going to want to go explore because superheroes don't necessarily go and dig into every nook and cranny. Finding items isn't super exciting because, yeah, maybe they enhance your stats. But again, you know, they don't look different. They don't change the game too much. And at the end of the day, it feels more like a brawler than a action RPG because you're just, again, it's a lot of button mashing and it's a bunch of thugs. It's a lot of thugs. But I felt like the whole time I fought thugs. And I fought a Tyrannosaurus Rex whose head was stuck on a rocket at one point, but I mean, I fought a bunch of thugs, so it was, I don't know, it's not a bad game. I kind of want to see impressed. That
T-Rex though.
it was weird. Yeah, you'll have to look at that. Yeah, that was really weird. I have no idea what that was. But then again,
You did have a nice little dance club scene though. I think that might be a.
Everybody in the dance club was doing the Carlton dance, and I found, you know, a couple ladies that, you know, Daredevil was interested in.
You got ninja'd? Verdian said you got ninja'd. People took your loot.
Yeah, that was another weird thing about it too. Like the loot in the open, so I'm assuming there's like a hub level and then you get into instances. But like I was fighting, there was a big group of people fighting Rhino, which was a ridiculous fight. Like and that is I'm going to pull that highlight off of that because it was 20 different superheroes fighting Rhino, who, in all honesty, Rhino is a low-level fucking thug guy anyway. And, I mean, you got a couple Hulks
fighting Rhino. I think he's in the Rhino. Next Spider-Man movie, actually.
Is he? Yeah, Paul Giamatti. I mean, you got two Hulks fighting him. You got two Hulks. You got three Daredevils. You got Storm, and you're hitting this guy, and he's soaking up all this damage. And we finally kill him, and he drops all this stuff. I'm like, okay, this stuff's probably pretty important. And everybody around me grabs it. And I'm like, oh, that was not worth it at all. So that was kind of a strange thing. Yeah, I don't know. I can't see myself revisiting that game unless I get free characters, one or two, like my friends play it. You know what I mean? So, yeah, I don't know. I'm a little bit disappointed in that.
Yeah, that's you know, Josh has probably sunk 50, 60 hours in this. So there are people out there that really do love this game, but I didn't see it either, and it sounds like you're kind of on the same page with me.
Yeah, absolutely.
You been playing anything else?
You know, I'll just finish it up with I jumped back into Skyrim, and I don't know if that was a good decision.
What? Why?
Because again, I was having that game overload where I didn't know what I wanted to play.
Okay, yeah.
And I knew that in Skyrim I could go in, I could jump into a quest, and I could go from there, you know, and I could kind of figure stuff out. And I kind of want to finish that game up. I have two goals for Skyrim. I either want to beat the game or I want to get 200 hours into it. And I'm at like 122 right now. So, I mean, it's very doable. But, yeah, I know I just jumped into it. And I tell you what, that is such a great game. I know it's not for everybody. I know everybody makes fun of the wonkiness. But, I mean, you load up some mods on that and it's a relief because you can go in there and you can fight and you can do quests or you can just fuck around. Yeah. And I went hunting for a bit. Like I got focused on hunting. I focused on my bow skills. I focused on my family. I have two orphan daughters that I adopted, you know, 3 months ago when I got the DLC to it. So I mean, it was just, I don't know. I love that game and playing it though. Gets me so excited for the prospects of Fallout 4, and I'm dying.
You think that's an E3 reveal?
I think it should be because I mean Bethesda's coming out with Wolfenstein, like that's the
I think that looks kind of cool.
Oh my god. It may look, okay, let me say this. It may look cool. It's completely unnecessary right now.
Oh yeah. Yeah. But
I mean, like, I'm kind of like, you know, because they teased, well, the Darkness Within, was that the, what is the horror game?
Evil Within.
Evil Within.
Yeah.
Teased that, and I was hoping that was Fallout 4, and then they said, they announced a few weeks back, we've got a known classic or something like that coming up. And I was like, okay, yeah, this is Fallout 4.
Oh, that was that. I didn't even put those together. Yeah.
Fucking Wolfenstein. I was like, you gotta be kidding me. Which, okay, again, I have nothing against Wolfenstein. Completely unnecessary.
You know, I've actually heard that, well, the most recent Wolfenstein game is actually pretty decent.
Yeah, I liked it. I liked it a lot.
But they, you know, they're rebooting it. That's kind of why I'm okay with it. Like, it's really harmless, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know what else you do with that franchise. I was glad they didn't just try to make another one. So,
yeah. Hopefully they keep some of the same elements of the other Wolfenstein. But again, the latest Wolfenstein. But again, I don't. You know, I want just.
Are you allowed to talk about Wolfenstein in Germany?
It's modified here pretty
big. Is it? I wonder.
I believe, yeah. Yeah.
Wolfenstein 3D just came out on Xbox Live Arcade again, so.
I don't remember the last time. That is a game that made me motion sick. That is really? Another one of those games. Oh my god. That game
I had so it. Cool. I think you talked about it happening during Doom. I had it with some of my initial rounds of Doom 2. Like, some of the more open levels kind of wigged me out a little bit, but you get used to it.
Yeah, you're moving so fast. So fast.
I capped myself at 40 hours on Skyrim, and I still need to get heavy into it, because I fucking loved it. But I think I just cut myself off to do other Game of the Year coverage at that point, and yeah. never went back to it, and then I kept saying, I'll go back to it when I get a PC, and here I am, still with too much to play, and you know, dropping. I don't want to drop a dozen hours into that game. I want to drop 80 hours into that game. And
yeah, and I was having the same kind of guilt. But then I busted out at least two or three reviews in the last week. So I kind of said, you know, like, treat yourself, Ethan. Like, don't worry about getting the new coverage yet. You know, so this weekend,
We also don't have any Skyrim highlights. So,
oh, I need to. Josh had popped up on Steam and said, hey, I would watch you play Skyrim, and I was like that.
Definitely
coming from you, that means so much, and like I was real touched by that.
You should find your marathon game to compliment, you know, your cheap and dirty games and all your reflex reviews and that kind of thing. I think the people would like it. So, let's see. Arcade wise, last week, we were playing Metal Slug X. I have never really played the Metal Slug games outside just like casual encounters in the arcade. That sounds like a fun reality show.
Casual. Look, you know, we both know going into this Metal Slug that this is casual, right? Like, I don't need your number. You don't need mine. We're not going to talk after this. We're just going to, you know.
And of course, she got my attention by having X under her name. anyway, this is apparently like a remake of Metal Slug 2. I was looking it up. There's like, I think they're up to 7. Metal Slug games, but so first, just stuff I didn't know about Metal Slug. I was playing this. It's one hit kills, so it's more skill based than I realized. So we continue our arcade challenges. You only have one credit, and you just play till you get the high till you die, and you record your high score. So this game became all about knowing what was multiplying your score, and you get it basically centers around each stage. Well, again, this is a, you know, side-scrolling shooter, much like Contra, but more cartoony and very well animated, and very has a lot of character, lots of cool and weird weapons, that kind of thing. The game kind of centers around, there are hostages scattered throughout the levels. You cut them free. And they thank you by dropping new items for you or money, and the more hostages you have freed by the end of the level, the more points you get. But if you die, you lose all the hostages you accrued on that life. So that's a big factor. You want to stay alive for as long as possible, and at least through each stage, with as many hostages as possible. Then every stage tends to have a mech or metal slug vehicle that you can get into, and then you get bonuses if you beat the level with that mech. And all the bosses in this game, like, fill the screen, and it's very kind of... It's kind of like a shmup in that you it's lots of bullet hell things that you have to dodge. And I played, man, we were battling. There were three of us just battling, just kept one-upping each other on the leaderboards. And then finally one of the guys had a major run. This would have been, had I won, this would have been my fourth victory in a row during our arcade challenge. So I'm kind of becoming an asshole, but we all knew that was going to happen with this.
Yeah.
So I with 15 minutes left on Friday, I gave it one last shot, and I ended up losing by 10,000. Well, I lost by 9,500 points, something like that. And we come to find out that there was a thing on the first level that everybody was doing but me that was worth 10,000 points, which was right before you get the metal slug for the first time, the first ever metal slug that you see, you actually can jump on this camel that has some photon projectile weapon on his back, but he's really hard to control, and you kind of use him to blow up the thing that reveals the first metal slug. So your natural instinct is hop off the camel, get in the tank, because why would you want to ride a camel? But if you beat the level with the camel, you get those 10,000 points. And long story short, I would have won the challenge had I known about that. So I was really disappointed.
Fucking camels,
that game is awesome, and I want to play the rest of that series.
Yeah, that's a looking back, that's one of those arcade games that would sway me to play it. I mean, I would always be attracted to that. But that and Splatterhouse for different reasons. But yeah, that was a game that you guys played, I think, 2 weeks ago. You're getting into some of the older games I'm not as interested in anymore. But you're getting into the games that I feel like I would want to compete, knowing that I would lose. But still the games that were enjoyable. And Metal Slug, oh man.
Yeah. Both these games are Metal Slug is just fun to play in general, and then I've never taken that game seriously, so I really wanted to see what it had to offer on the skill side. But it's definitely accessible, and I think we're trying to find, you know, more of those, you know, later arcade titles that are still fun to play that, you know, that don't get by just on their nostalgia, like Frogger, which I hated. So
yeah,
but I do. Sucks. I think I talked a little bit about Splatterhouse last time, but I got deep into that game, man. That game is all about memorizing patterns. It is hard. Its continuous system is unforgiving, because usually at the end of the week, after the scores are set, somebody will just barrel through the game and put in as many credits as they can just to try to see the ending. Like, we marathon through Smash TV, but we couldn't beat Splatterhouse because basically you get to this boss. It was like the fourth boss, I think. And we couldn't beat him, and every time you would die, even if you put in more credits, you restart, you know, at the beginning or the halfway point of that level, and it's still hard just to get to him. Or, like, you only can take three or four hits, and so it doesn't matter if you have a lot of continues, because you still have to pull off that battle. And that game is hard, but it's also, like, Josh and I were trying to find other horror-based arcade games and really couldn't come up with very many. Like, it has a very unique feel. So it was a nice, it was a nice change of pace for us. So
I was going to say, other than House of the Dead, I can't think of anything that wasn't real cute.
Yeah, we couldn't think of anything that wasn't a shooter, or a light gun game. This week's game is In the Hunt, which is basically a submarine shoot 'em up that is made from the Metal Slug guys. Yeah, it is hard as hell.
That is a tough game. Yep,
it is kicking our ass right now. But I won't talk too much about it, because I don't think very many people know about that one. But definitely look it up, because it's fun to play and really unique from the aspect of playing as a submarine. So What else have I been doing? I've been trying to get caught up in Tomb Raider. I think Cole just beat the game, so he's working on a editorial around that. But I finally caught up to where I was on the consoles on the PC, and that game is running smooth as silk for as many, you know, hair related problems as it had on the PC to PC to launch. But I really love this game. I don't know, just it's easy to kind of take pot shots at it for some of its presentation, but it's also just really well done, and I think Crystal Dynamics is kind of getting, I don't know, the shorter than the stick a little bit with, they should get more credit than they are for this game, and it'll definitely be one of my favorites of the year. What else? I had ongoing PlanetSide 2 adventures. We're trying to play that weekly on the site. Nothing really new there. I did play Metro 2033 a few hours ago.
I wanted to hear about how you felt about that.
So, kind of mixed. I don't think I knew what to expect from the gameplay at all. Because I don't know. I really love the atmosphere, love the setup, all that stuff. I love just kind of feeling really vulnerable in those sewers. And you know, the gunplay isn't that broken, but there's just, when you're actually in the action, it's not as immersive as I expected. Mm-hmm. Like, the world is immersive outside of the actual gameplay side, but, like, when you're actually in the meat of it, I don't know what it's missing, but it's missing something to pull me in.
Yeah. I think about, like, I reviewed that, and I think I gave it a 3 out of 5, I believe. Mm-hmm. And I still stick to that, though. When I think about the game, I remember enjoying it, I remember the atmosphere, but I remember there being just a variety of weird, like, jankiness to it, weird design decisions, mm-hmm. and there was a difficulty to it that it wasn't that it was difficult as much as that you didn't feel super impactful in combat at times.
Yeah.
And this is all stuff that supposedly has been corrected in Metro Last Light. But the funny thing is when Metro 2033 came out, people complained about a lot of this. You know, like, oh, it you know, you feel so kind of like, just, I don't know, it just doesn't fit with the atmosphere, but it's too difficult, or, you know, the guns suck or whatnot. But people are now complaining that it doesn't have what Metro 2033 had. You know, so it's a really weird, like, it's in a really weird place in that it had to get away from some of the gameplay, because some of the gameplay was just, I felt was there just to be difficult, and it didn't really add to anything. But that being said, atmosphere wise, next to the Stalker series, you can't touch it.
I love it.
Yeah. You can't touch it. Like, those, any game set in Eastern Europe, I don't know what it is, but is freaking just, it's just full of dread. And you don't get that from a lot of games. You get that creepiness, but this game just, I don't know, it just oozed it, but it wasn't exactly what I wanted. Mm-hmm. And that's why with Last Light, I'm saving myself for that, because I think that I'll probably be disappointed too, and maybe be reminded why.
I think we want something in between 2033, yeah, and what Last Light. Although it also sounds like it's DLC, it sounds like they still added in some of the difficulty for Last Light, but they may have addressed too many of the concerns about the action and made it almost too much of a generic first-person shooter.
Yeah.
But I'm sure we'll love the atmosphere too, so I'm not really worried about it, and I want to play it, and I do want to finish 2033, but it definitely didn't hook me after that first major session. There were some cool moments, like I love the mutant animals, like they're just, mm-hmm, they're freaky as hell, and especially just, they're always kind of scurrying after you, and the first time I went, like, you do one mission where you're basically just following one guy, some kind of untrustworthy type of dude, down the sewers or whatever, I guess down the metro. But the first time he let me go by, like, he kind of walked off by himself and it let me go in my own direction. I immediately fell down a hole. It was kind of it was really funny. So can't go alone in that game. And the the first time I went topside and had to kind of manage the the oxygen levels and that kind of stuff. That was really cool. It's just they were just missing a little bit of more immersion in the gunplay. They either needed to go like you have the skills or you don't, but this whole in between, like he's kind of I think it was intentional that this guy isn't supposed to be like a super soldier, which I appreciate, but it doesn't necessarily make it fun to play, or just there just weren't any highs in the gunplay. The highs were in the atmosphere, and what that boils down to is like then the pacing of the game feels much more like work than an enjoyable experience. So But it sounds like Last Light is selling pretty well, and I don't know if you read any of the stories just about the kind of the environment at developing at 4A Games. Like,
oh my god!
I just this group is so talented. This is a their own engine kind of thing that they've built, and I would love to see what they can do with some really top level resources and. And to be able to polish some of this stuff, because these games are close to being just fantastic games.
And that was the thing is Metro 2033 was the some people said it was a Crysis killer, because up until that point Crysis was the graphical PC game go-to game.
I remember this came
along, and I mean a lot of it was optimization issues, but you could say the same for Crysis. But I mean that's how people tested their PCs back in the day, is can you run Metro 2033 and on ultra settings and whatnot. And that's one thing. Like, graphics are one thing, but they just they have their finger on the pulse of atmosphere, and Western developers still don't have that. Not even close. I just these guys in Eastern Europe, man, they and you know why I think it is because and living over here, now Germany's much different, okay? But if you're talking about the Ukraine, you're talking about some areas in Russia and whatnot, like there are some areas that are dilapidated. There's some areas that still have that kind of haze of the Soviet era hanging over them, and that's where a lot of their motivation comes from, some of these games. And these guys are, I mean, again, when you listen to their experiences while developing this game, you kind of understand, like, oh shit, yeah, this wasn't just them coming in the office, having a coffee. I mean, they weren't comfortable. And I think that kind of stuff comes into those games because those games are full of dread. Those games aren't comfortable. And that was one aspect of Metro 2033 that did throw me off, was I was never comfortable playing the game. And that's not necessarily a bad thing. But yeah, I want to see what these guys can do in the future, because holy shit, throw some actual resources at them.
Yeah, no shit.
they're gonna shock people.
So hopefully I keep revisiting that game and actually finish it. Keep pushing me that direction from time to time. I did buy Donkey Kong Country Returns on 3DS, but I didn't really get to play very much of it. But I did want to say that there's a pretty hilarious commercial for this game. They had like demo kiosks out at some beach in front of like this big Donkey Kong Country Returns sign, and little kids would be playing their 3DS, and then once an hour or whatever it was, Donkey Kong would come busting out of that sign, Kool-Aid Man style, and just scare the shit out of people. So I support that. And then I did a Game Curious Sunday night for Stealth Bastard Deluxe. So all I keep thinking, I think it's just some conversations with you. I think you and I are starting... you more than me, but I'm also headed down this path of every time I see a 2D platformer or an indie game, like I just kind of look at it questioningly, as far as like, so what are you going to bring to the table besides your retro 2D aesthetics?
Yeah.
And so I put off playing Stealth Bastard for a while, but really, really enjoyed myself. I spent a couple hours with the game. It's a stealth puzzle game. It says it's a fast-paced stealth puzzle game, and the platforming's fun, and it's got you quickly respawn when you die and mess up, and so if I can paint the picture for you, it controls kind of like Super Meat Boy, except you don't have the sprint that he does. It's a really, really tight controls. It's got all the stealth elements of, like, a Mark of the Ninja. It builds off some of those, tries to give you some feedback in the game so you know whether or not you're visible in shadows or partially visible and that kind of thing. But also, like, unexpectedly, there's a lot of droids walking around in this world. It's got a bit of the Puppy Games art style to it.
Mm.
Just a little bit of another layer on top of their 2D sprites. And then while it's all done with text in the game, like they'll drop text in the environment to give you little quips, it's got a little bit of the attitude of Portal as far as, like, you're a clone in this lab or whatever you're doing, trying to solve all these stealth puzzles or break out, or I don't really know what you're trying to do, but they're... On top of that, there's basically this guy watching you that is both giving you instructions and making fun of you a little bit by, like, robots are not your friends, and right below that is a robot that will shoot with a laser, and when he shoots with the laser, it'll say, I tried to tell you, like, little fun little messages like that. So, and the soundtrack is fucking awesome.
Yeah.
Even though there is one song that sounds like an Aaliyah song. So that was really, really kind of bugging me. So.
Did you do your comparison? Did you do your video comparison?
Well, I linked it on Twitter, and I've had it confirmed by Cole, who I think understands the R&B stylings of Aaliyah and Timbaland. So he said it definitely does have the same beat. I do not think that he intentionally plagiarized this beat, but... It was a really frustrating level when I was playing it, and all I heard was that music, and it was just driving me nuts. But so I'll have the game Curious up here in the next week, if not later this week. It depends on what I end up doing with our video later tonight. But I think that game is, gosh, I want to say it was $10, but it's got to be $10 or $15. But I think it's well worth it. It's got 80 levels. Lots of content, and I think you'll know if you like it immediately. So, lots of personality, fun, cool. And then finally, I guess, thanks to the Humble Bundle / Action Pack, I've been playing a ton of Awesomenauts. Mm. So, Humble Bundle features Awesomenauts as one of the games, and I think Aaron on our site picked the game up, and it just got me thinking that I haven't played this on PC. I also haven't played this game in a year since it came out, and I really liked it when it came out, but there were only 6 characters that you could play as at that point, and now they have, like, more than 2 times that. And,
oh, wow.
So I wanted to check it out, and I've always been curious. You know, you and I have been talking about trying out Dota 2, and I really feel that Awesomenauts is the training for a real MOBA game. Granted, I'm not taking away anything from Awesomenauts, but it's just a lot more friendly to play because I think you're playing a MOBA, but you don't really know it.
Yeah.
Because it just plays like a 2D action game to, the uninformed like me. But, you know, after, 20 or so sessions, I'm starting to, find new characters that I like and start to understand the flow of the battle. And, you know, after playing with... a couple of our friends that are much better players than most of us, you start to actually learn what tactics work and what don't. So we played a little bit last weekend, and we had a 3-on-3 match going on for a couple hours last night. That was a lot of fun, and definitely recommend playing this with friends. All these games, I don't know, there's still, I think, about once out of every 3 public games I was playing, there would be an asshole in chat basically yelling at people that don't know the rules, and so it's not as intimidating as some of the MOBA communities, but I just don't like seeing those players, so I'd rather play with friends.
Yeah, that's kind of, I've got online and tried to play a couple games in the last few months with people, and I just I don't know if there's more assholes or if I'm just more sensitive to it, but, like, I really never in my life will I get to a point where that is appealing to me. Even if someone messes up, it's a fucking video game. And that's one of the reasons why, like, Dota 2, like, I keep looking at it. I want to test it out, but I want us all to be there as, like, a support group. Because
yeah, totally.
Like, I don't, like, because it just it frustrates me because I love video games, and I do not know what attracts assholes to video games. And I'd love there to be a day when people looked at gamers and thought, oh, gamers, nice guys, and nice not guy. Gamers, asshole, you know? So I definitely wait on that. But actually, I got Awesome Knots in the Humble Bundle this past weekend. Yeah. It was, wow, very robust Humble Bundle, like usual.
Yeah, they just added more shit, too.
See, I love those things. Some soundtracks as well. But between that and Thomas Was Alone, I think I'm trying to decide which one of those I'm going to put a little bit of time into. Because I've heard a lot of good things about Thomas Was Alone, but Awesome Knots, to me, you guys are playing it, and I need some co-op time.
You need to get in on that. I think you should game curious Thomas Was Alone. That'd be a good one.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then it's got one of our favorites. Oh, Intrusion 2 is in the bundle. A Little Inferno, which is enjoyable. Hotline Miami, of course, Game of the Year contender on some lists there. I threw in Dear Esther. I didn't realize that. I'm trying to see what else did they. Oh, cool. Oh, did you see they pushed back Amnesia, Machine for Pigs again?
Yeah, I don't know if I'm too disappointed in that, because I keep forgetting how scary Amnesia was, and then with the Oculus Rift, well, here's what I was thinking, is when they pushed it back, I was thinking, you know what? Is they're pushing this back because they've seen all this coverage of the Oculus Rift, and they want to incorporate the Oculus Rift in their game, thus scaring the absolute shit out of absolutely everybody on the planet to the point where they will literally poop in their pants, because I can only imagine how frightening that game would be. But you know what? Push games back all day long, because they'll only be better.
I'm still playing Skyrim. That's what you're saying.
I mean, we're fine. We're fine. The only game that I want right now is Fallout 4. Still hasn't been announced yet, so I can just, you know, be okay. But yeah, guys, take your time. We're okay. We have plenty of games to play, devs. We're fine. We're going to be okay. You guys take care of yourselves.
I think I walked in the tail end of this conversation, but are you also looking forward to The Last of Us and trying to figure out a PS3 situation?
Yes. So I, and even more so when I saw the reviews and There's certain games that I ignore reviews, and certain games that I need the reviews to kind of, validate what I'm thinking about it. But I mean, I'm so excited for that game, and I have to get prepared for that game. I have a lot of setting up to do here. I have to get a voltage converter for my TV, which I still haven't done 9 months later. I'm going to have to import the game as well. That kind of sucks, actually. I don't like that. But I'm really excited to see what you guys are going to feel, how you're going to feel about it.
Yeah, I think Aaron and I are going to race to the end of that game. I fully expect to love the game and be completely depressed based on what I've been reading. So,
yeah,
man, there's some downtrodden trailers for this game. It's just what are you willing to do to survive?
Yeah.
Choices you make.
I've given up all, I mean, my ideology in terms of, like, you know, Joel being this, like, happy-go-lucky, you know, like, you know, kind of, he starts off kind of rough, and then he kind of, you know, meets this girl and suddenly becomes soft and cuddly and stuff. That's not going to happen. It's not going to happen, and I'm prepared for that. I'm prepared for a really gritty experience. Again, I think we're all still kind of reeling from The Walking Dead, and kind of the story elements we got out of that. And, I think this one will probably, if this one can even come within, you know, can do half as much as The Walking Dead did in terms of story, it's going to be game of the decade. I mean, really will, like, from what everybody's saying. So,
all right, we're going to wrap up the show with some, maybe I should bump this to the beginning of the show. Like I said, we're still figuring out the format. Hell, we need a name for the show. So chat, help us out. Ethan, if you've got any ideas, but I'm trying to decide if I want to do our kind of creative session here at the beginning of the show and then do kind of the what we're playing, or do what we've done here. But I kind of wanted to tap into, I don't know, recent articles you've written or things you're working on, maybe that are, you know, just very small ideas in your head that you think you might build an editorial off of. Is there anything? Well, maybe tell me about, like, what's your angle with the Oculus Rift video? Like, what are you?
So actually, I've got a couple pretty cool projects coming up. You know, first I'll talk about the Oculus Rift video. I have footage that I'm going to be compiling this week. I'm hoping to get it turned around this week, but I also wanted to get some reviews done and that kind of stuff. So you may see that next week. But just you know, some reactions of people playing it. It's not going to be as entertaining as that guy's grandma playing the Oculus Rift. But I mean, you know, we had some fun, and it was a multinational group, you know, using the Oculus Rift. So I'm excited to kind of put that stuff together and just kind of give people an idea of, you know, what it looks like, the process of getting it all set up, and then how it actually plays and whether it's fun or not. And again, when my wife says, "Hey, it's fun," it's fun. Yeah. It's a good. That's a huge thing. But another thing that I'm working on that I'm actually really excited about is, so I reviewed Tiny Barbarian DX last week.
We didn't talk about it. Oh man, we'll feature it on the debut episode of this because. Okay, sorry. I have to say this because, one, you built up enough hype with your interview. Like, I was sold on, after you just talking to Stark Whale about this game. But then I read your review, and it's kind of like, first you kind of question, like, you know, you've been sold on this game for a while now, so are you just a fan because you're entrenched in it? But because it came across that you really loved the game. And then it's fucking awesome. It's like, it pumps me up. You nailed it. Like, everything about the music and just, like, the pacing of the game is awesome. So track down Tiny Barbarian DX. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. What were you saying?
Absolutely do that. And in reference to that review, I think I've come into a good place with my reviews. I've actually begun taking more notes as I'm playing games so that when I revisit and write about them, it's a much more thorough review. So maybe people doubted my reviews a few years back, but I'm getting there, everybody, so I'm working on it. But I've been talking with Michael Stearns, who is one of the members of Stark Whale, and actually he is going to do a follow-up interview here in the next week or so, and we're probably going to... Obviously, we're going to talk about Tiny Barbarian and all that kind of stuff, but you know he's a great guy. Like, he's like one of probably the coolest developer that I've talked to, and it you know, it's kind of cool because I mean you know Tiny Barbarian DX, you know, saw some Kickstarter success and it's seeing some success right now, just real laid back guy, and he was kind of like, hey, you know, we'll talk about the game, but if you just want to bullshit, let's bullshit too, because I guess he had a lot of fun during the interview, which I guess if you have fun with an interview with me, awesome. That's good. Usually I make people feel really uncomfortable. So, expect that. I'm really, you know, right now, especially in terms of indie games, I'm really kind of obsessed with that. I know that those are more in vogue now, but I mean, I've been really into indie games for a really, really, really long time. Not in a hipster way, but that's always been kind of my, if anything on this website, I feel like I'm the horror or survival horror type guy. I'm the Resident Evil guy, but I feel like I also, you know,
pick the indie gems out of the, I don't know, you're more in the trenches with it, I guess.
Because
we're not talking about, you know, there are those that top level tier of indie games that have all the support, and you know the Fezzes of the world that you know are gonna stand out, but like actually getting in there and trying to decipher between some of the more generic games and find some actual quality games out there, you're pretty good at picking those out.
Oh yeah, and I feel good about that. I'm going to continue doing that, and I want to talk to more developers. I mean, we spoke with the Darkwood developers a few months back. So again, I think those are really interesting stories. Those are really interesting interviews to do. And all of those developers, I mean, obviously there's going to be a time when they become really successful and they can pick and choose who they want to talk to. But like right now, like, hey, they want to talk to everybody. They want to get their game out because they love their games. And we're talking to them at that point before they and maybe they never will. You know, in talking with Michael, he's like, I want to make good games. I don't, you know, success is one thing, but making good games is number one. And so I want to talk to these developers before they get to the point where they're so successful that they've kind of lost that lust for the games or whatnot. And with all the guys that I've talked to, they've stuck to their guns, and they're bringing out a really diverse variety of games. And we've got Broforce, you know, coming out. Yep. We talked talked with them, you know, talked with Darkwood guys, talked with Michael. So, I mean, we've got, you know, we're building our little, you know, kind of anthology of indie developer reviews. And, you know, stay tuned for more of that stuff. I'm cool. Really putting the feelers out with that. And if you're an indie game developer, yell at us too. We're open to talk to you.
Cool. Well, this week I've actually been trying to turn my attention to getting ready for E3 next week. I'm going to post our schedule, or like how we're going to cover it, probably Thursday on the site. So what we're kind of looking at is we're definitely going to do live chats during the press conferences, because that was a lot of fun during the Xbox reveal. So anytime there is a major press conference, which it looks like all of them are Monday. Monday is just insane. It's pretty much all day. But anytime a press conference is going on, we will have our live chat open on our Twitch channel. So come hang out with us and react to the show live with us. And then we're actually going to bring together the guys for two podcasts next week, Tuesday night and Thursday night. I'm not sure, Ethan, which night you're going to make it, or if you want to do both. But Josh has agreed to come on to both shows. So it'll definitely be Josh and I, and I'm sure Ethan will be there for at least one of the shows. Tuesday night's show will be just reacting to whatever just the fuck happened on Monday. So we'll do that live. That'll be probably a two-hour-ish show, running through all the press conferences and just reacting. Then we're going to take a little of a bit of a breath and then come back Thursday for an hour or so, and just once everything, all the dust is kind of settled, and then, you know, we've got more game trailers, and just kind of reflect on what we think happened at E3 and where the rest of the year is going, and just ongoing predictions. So live chat all throughout the day Monday, and then podcast Tuesdays and Thursdays. So that should be kind of wild. I'm super excited for E3. It's a very pivotal year. I am a little bit, I think we're all a little bit jaded on the consoles themselves, but it's still really curious to me to see how they negotiate this. And, you know, we won't have all the answers, but I'm hoping for, you know, I'm hoping for a whole new batch of games to get excited about regardless of the hardware. So
yeah, absolutely.
That should be fun. Editorial wise, I am trying to figure out, I want to do some more retro articles. Like, I started I did a Donkey Kong article about a month and a half ago, just about when I've been revisiting these games in the Arcade Challenge, just things that I didn't know were in these games. And I want to continue that for, you know, the five or six games I've played since. All this kind of spins off of one of our original weekly series on the site was our I Learned Something Today series. And I kind of want to figure out a way to revive that or bring it back in a different regard, because I think essentially doing those weekly for, you know, a 2-year stretch, I think Ethan and I, we just kind of ran out of games.
It was impressive. We kept it going for as long as we did. I don't think we missed a week, did we? For 2 years?
No, we didn't. For at least two. And then it kind of got a little sporadic there, and then we decided to not retire it, but just put it on pause for a little bit. So
and give it a vacation. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I keep part of the reason I want to do this show and have this little section is to push me to keep doing some more creative writing, because we've kind of moved away from that and more of our news coverage and our live streaming. But this site was kind of founded around our creative writing, so I want to keep that alive and also. The other side of this is we haven't done our Reply to All series, which used to be our weekly, just basically a Q&A session with all the writers on the site. And everybody's kind of back in the fold as far as our regular writers. And I want to figure out a different way to kind of have a weekly conversation that isn't on the podcast. So that's something else that I kind of want to figure out. We usually do that over email, but I need to figure out a different way to generate that, and maybe I may actually put it up more on our Facebook page and engage the community a bit, and then build the article from that. But I don't know. Have you seen anything? Like, are there I'm trying to find other group posts to inspire me, so if anybody has any recommendations there, shoot them my way. Is there anything else you want to drudge up from the past? Any editorial series that you haven't written for a while that we need to bring back?
Oh, man. We kind of touch on the Remake It So every once in a while, and that's always... I'm on Reddit more than I should be, and there's always... They have their own little Remake It So-ish kind of threads that go on there, and actually, I like talking about games. Mm-hmm. Talking about games that need, you know, a sequel, talking about games that need, you know, a fresh coat of paint, and talking about games that need to be done, you know, completely over again, and, mm-hmm. and I think that's one of the things that I do. I want to focus on. I mean, we are doing a lot more reviews. We're doing a lot more news, but focusing on, you know, all of us kind of have this little tinge of wanting to develop games in us, though some of us don't have those skills at all to do so. But it's fun to talk about it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And hell, who knows? You know, maybe you can convince a big studio to hurry up and get fucking Fallout 4 going if you talk about it over and over and over again. Yeah. But Remake It So is one of those. Just 5 more minutes is definitely one that I haven't written in a long time, and I've been thinking about those moments because, you know, without having my computer, I haven't had those 5 minutes for quite some time, and there's so many stories of that, and those are stories that people can really relate to, because all of us have been in a situation, especially those of us with significant others, where you are trying to explain to somebody why you can't leave right now, you know, and it's always funnier, and it says a lot about, you know, how engrossing games can be and how how tough it is to be a gamer sometimes when you're living with another, you know,
have responsibilities.
Yeah.
Actually, the funny thing is that was going to be one of our more retro series, and I hadn't even thought about it in the regard that comes up just as much now as far as just, you know, trying to find your game time, or like you need to step away but you can't, and trying to explain why. I think if we do a modern take on Just 5 More Minutes, that might be a good thing to bring up. And also, I don't know if you saw it in chat, but Verdian is still calling for Dezu. So
yeah, I know. I've I have at least 100 gigabytes of video footage on my hard drive of just a variety of different projects that I've claimed.
Oh, I thought you were gonna say a variety of different zoo animals.
I have 100 gigabytes of zoo animals on my heart. I don't know how I got them in there. They make such loud noises throughout the day. But Dezu's there. When do we spring it? I think that, you know, the development team at Horrible Night have had a lot of really intense conversations about when is it right? When does it come out? When should we do this? And is it even responsible to do it at this point in time? But don't you worry, fans of Dezu. Verdian, I think it's probably just you.
It's got Aaron's support, but
it's got Aaron's support. That's good.
He just likes to rally the crowd.
Well, I have one more bit of research to do, because actually I was told, you know, I shot a lot of footage at the Berlin Zoo, but there's actually a zoo that a taxi driver told me was even better than the Berlin Zoo, and I still have to go to the aquarium.
I trust him.
There's a lot of research that goes into this, you know? Like, I mean, real. I'm not just going to talk about animals I don't know anything about, you know? So,
working on it. They're working on, let's see, some of these potential names for the show. Homely Ho Night.
What, yeah, that's... Thanks.
I like
thanks,
that.
Aaron.
Homely, yeah.
My mom tells me I'm an attractive young man all the time.
Hold me Ho Night.
Hold me Ho Night?
Yeah. Ho Night at Home. Also, I'm scrolling back up here. The We Hate Jordan Show. Sorry, that was my idea.
The We Hate Jordan Show?
If we kind of poke back and forth. Ho Island. I'm not sure that'll work. Ho Night at Your Home. Mostly about poop and dicks, but occasionally about video games podcast.
That's probably as spot on as you can get. I don't know if we have to be as...
Hot and Horrible Livecast. Games we play, articles we write horribly. I thought there were a couple horrible highlights. Lacey and Moses late night. Late night with Moses and Lacey. Looks like that's about it. I'm going to do something with the late night in the... I would love to incorporate Ho Night. I am going to... So, I used to be, you know, all of our horrible game nights, and I think we're going to start doing more of those after Top Video Game Podcast of the Week. Cam Tech Failure Night. Nice. But I'm going to rename... I think our horrible game nights are officially Ho Night Game Nights. So
I like that. I like that. Now, did we talk about Stuff and Things? Is that
no. One that... That's possible.
That's always a good one. Right on the nose.
And speaking of Ho Night Game Nights, one other thing I am working on. Anytime we get the community together to play a live stream like that, I'm going to try to cut a highlight video. I said I'd do it for a Planet Side 2 one that never happened, but Ethan, you missed some monumental moments adding to the Horrible Night lexicon. I'm basically going to cut a highlight video of our awesome Knots screaming session. Anytime we scream the words Dean, Dickfish, and what was the third one? And Asshole Wizard. I'm going to cut all of those together into just an unwatchable montage. But there was a lot of screaming last night. So.
That sounds great. That sounds awesome. Yeah, you know, I need to have a good screaming session because I have some neighbors that have suddenly become assholes in the last couple weeks. So I wouldn't mind kind of giving them a little taste of their own medicine. I've got a high, shrill scream, and enthusiasm just makes it worse. So, yeah, we definitely need to do that.
All right. Last thing. Let's see if we can come up with some game pitches. First thing that popped in my head, surely there were some amazing Oculus Rift game ideas that were running through your head while you were putting on the goggles.
Oh.
What do you think would be a good Oculus Rift game, or at least a concept to build off of that you haven't really seen out there?
Oh, man. I mean, there's a thin line between a good game and a game that I think sounds awesome that I definitely would.
We'll start with that. Yeah.
Okay. So I want to do, I think, a haunted house simulator with the Oculus Rift. That could be randomly generated, okay, would be, like, that's what I was thinking the whole time. I wouldn't do it, but, like, you would go into a house. There was actually a demo that they were doing of this Tuscan home, which was beautiful. take that idea and have ghosts popping out at you.
Mm-hmm.
Think about trap doors, okay? Like, you could do trapdoors with the Oculus Rift and get a really, like, you could, it would scare the shit out of you because in doing the roller coaster, the whole idea of losing, because of the whole, the field of view and the depth perception within the Oculus Rift, you're going to feel like you're falling. And with the roller coaster, I knew I was going down, but, like, walking around, you know, and then falling down into a pit would be awesome. Taking off the guillotine. I mean, basically, this idea is just a bunch of the things I saw coming together. I mean, having, you know, an axe shoot out of the wall and cut your head off, and then you see it would be awesome. Like, and I'm not talking about like a haunted house you see on Halloween. I'm talking about haunted house filled with Jason.
Ghost Adventures, Freddy's. The game is what you're talking about.
Yeah, absolutely.
That would be that could be fucked up pretty quick. Did you ever watch the Grave Encounters movies yet?
I watched the trailer. No, I didn't actually. Why didn't
you need to watch those? Because that's kind of what I'm thinking.
You know why I didn't is because we were going to watch it one day, and then we'd actually found out that some creepy guy had once lived here in this apartment, and Aubrey and I we just got real scared one day, and like we ended up just not watching horror movies for like a month or two after that. So that was the reason for that. I may not ever watch that because it looks creepy. But yeah, I mean, that would be like with the Oculus Rift, and again, but I think it'd give people heart attacks. Like, I really do. Like, there are,
yeah. For sure.
If you really don't like somebody and they, you know, they're plump and they, you know, they have poor cardiovascular health, strap an Oculus Rift on them and take them into my haunted house simulator and, you know, might take care of them indirectly. So,
the things that jump out at me are, you know, they obviously need to do a Minecraft mod for this.
Oh god, dude, you know how many people we would lose to that?
And the haunted house thing, that was kind of the idea that I didn't know I had in my head. Like, that's fucking perfect. Like, it just any... There's anything where you're walking into something that you wouldn't want to walk into. Like, yeah. I don't know. It's, you know... fucking Jurassic Park, the Oculus Rift experience.
You know, they had an underwater game demo, and I thought it was just the ocean, and you just were swimming around, and a fucking great white shark comes out of nowhere and chomps on you. Dude, it was intense. Like, oh, yeah. Like, all that kind of stuff. Jurassic Park, yeah, that's awesome. Dude, I'm so excited for this. I get more and more excited for it. Because you could literally have the T-Rex pick you up in its mouth and shake you around.
I mean, you could make the version that they actually wanted the park to actually be and make it, you know, a fun experience. And then you can make all the movie stuff and just fucking Oculus Rift Velociraptor chase. Just be awful.
Dude.
Oh, clever girl.
Future.
And then I had another idea, but do you have any other, I don't know, game pitch? One-liners you want to build off of?
I want to hear yours.
So I was thinking, like, to wrap up this this generation of games, like, what would the ultimate game to represent all of the, I don't know, the hallmarks, the features of this generation, like the things that we got tired of. What would that game actually look like? Like, as far as, you know, it's got to be a, you know, a brown game. It's got to be really, really, really dirty. There's got to be cover-based shooting in it that enacts quick time events.
Yep.
But what other things that you got sick of this generation that came out of this generation? What else does it need to have?
So the male characters in your game need to be shaped more like gorillas than human beings. That's one of those. Definitely there has to be at least a scene or two where you're in a helicopter and that helicopter explodes and your character holds on to the outside of it. I'm getting more specific here, but there has to be a turret scene for no apparent reason, just to have it. Tower defense. Because, you know, there came a point where everybody was on tower defense and everything.
Yeah.
Motorcycle chase. Definitely. For some reason, those became super popular.
For some reason, you have to build your base, too.
You have to build... you have to build your base. Microtransactions. that's really serious. But thank you, Verdian. Bows. There has to be a bow and arrow.
It has to have both one extremely... useless bit of DLC, and then some DLC that you need to finish the game.
Yes, absolutely.
The bows. Yes, picking flowers. Awesome. Yes,
picking flowers. The ending should disappoint at least 90% of the audience. Oh God, I'm trying to think. All the enemies should be derivatives of things we've already seen. Zombies in it. Zombies.
Mm-hmm. There should be... you should be able to play this game as good or evil and make a choice at the end that is the exact same ending no matter what you've done throughout the rest of the game. But you have to make a choice. Whether you say yes or no, it's still the same ending.
The gameplay trailer that we see shouldn't feature anything that is actually in the game. We should,
if you play it on your PlayStation 3, it's going to send out your credit card information.
Yes, it absolutely has to do that. It really needs to incorporate the PlayStation Move, as well as the Kinect. Exact same time.
It requires both the PlayStation Move controller and the Wiimote to turn on the Kinect.
Yes. it needs to make use of as many peripherals as possible. Like, you know,
where's the guitar controller?
Yeah. Like, and actually, if we can get the Wii U, the Wii Pad in there, that'll be definitely good.
Well, that's next gen. What are you talking about?
Oh, I guess it is next gen. It's in between gen. It's you know, basically we need to force as many stereotypes as we can into the game and then defend it by saying it's satire. that's super important.
How should we portray the women in this game?
You know, we should definitely over sexualize the women in this game, but later validate that by saying it's actually us being tongue in cheek. You know, we should say this is how you all like this. We're showing you that you like it.
This was through your eyes.
This isn't us. We didn't do this.
She was actually, you know, this perfect picture of a strong female.
Yeah.
Hero. Yes, and there needs to be a button where you click it and it goes into 8-bit graphics.
Yep. It does have to be Kickstarted.
Yeah, I was going to say. Crowdfunded. Jordan's right. At the end of this, the entire project needs to be Kickstarted. I think we've done it.
I think that's I can't think of anything else. but we could definitely revisit this.
I think we should.
This is pretty broad. Man, that's a lot of features, but I think that game sounds pretty awful, actually.
Yep. This generation was terrible. I think we summed it up. So, green light, a Kickstarter, and a publisher.
Yes.
Oh, they pull the old Silicon Knights
campaign.
Yeah. Cool. I think that's going to do it for this unnamed show. Thank you, Circle Image, representing Ethan Moses, for joining me.
Quite welcome.
I hope you get your webcam figured out for our debut episode of Stuff and Things with Hot Horrible Hosts Late Night Podcast, or whatever we end up calling this thing, in 2 weeks. Like I said, next week will be all about E3. But chat, thanks for hanging out with us. And we will see you with a real show real soon. Later.